Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.
From Buffalo, Toronto Public Media, this is What's Next, an hour dedicated to amplifying the voices of marginalized and underrepresented communities across Western New York and Southern Ontario.
We cannot erase, we cannot reform, we cannot make things better if we're uncomfortable having tough conversations,
absolutely,
if we're uncomfortable talking about race.
What's Next carries forward our mission to engage in meaningful conversations about race, equity, and the shared concerns that deeply affect Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
Don't stop. Make those families part of your life. Their lives are part of yours. Don't stop.
Together, we dive into the real issues, striving for understanding, connection, and change.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
And good morning. This is What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR. My name is Jay Moran, and for the next hour, we've got a lot to talk about. A lot of what's some discussion that's going on locally, but it's not only going on locally, it's going on nationally and internationally as well. With us this morning, we have Victory Ross. Victory Ross is the communications coordinator, or is it communications or community coordinator for the Western New York Peace Center. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, please.
Yes. And of course, also we have Win Mentat, director of the Crossroads Coalition. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
And Mike Hogan, business manager for IUPAT. Mike, that stands for again?
International Union Painters and Allied Trades.
I appreciate you saying it instead of me. Thanks
so
much.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah. But to that, though, we have a lot to talk about here.
Yes.
Because not only do you have something very important coming up this Saturday, which we're going to get into, but just yesterday, you had a press conference talking about groups that are uniting for a single cause, but I should say maybe almost a single movement. Let's talk about what you guys were talking about yesterday.
Well, I want to say this is Buffalo United March. We came up with that name collectively because it's about Buffalo uniting, and we will march, and we will really create a coalition that's helping to build a movement. So that's part of the work. It actually started with Wynn putting something out on Facebook saying, you know, we've got to get out in the streets, and tagged a lot of people, including me, including Brian Brown Cash Dollar of WinCash. And really from then we just started building and working, you know, adding people into the conversation, selecting a date, and we selected this date that is the national and international day. They're calling it Hands Off. We're calling it Buffalo United March, but it's part of building a movement because we need to care for people on the planet. So I want to defer on the press conference to Mike. Mike, would you talk a little bit about how the press conference was yesterday?
Yeah, the press conference was to kind of kick it off, give some of the speakers that are going to be at the rally on Saturday a few minutes to kind of explain what the rally's about. It was a good turnout at the press conference. Wynn and I had a chance to talk to news channels that were there afterwards. And it was just get this word out there. You know, we're pushing out on social media through, there's about 40 organizations and unions now that are involved in this. We expect to see that growing. And, you know, this was Wynn's genesis. Like, she literally thought of it and just put it out there in social media, and then look what happens. And,
sure,
you know, it took a couple months of planning, and we had committees for logistics and security and promotion and program committee. It was pretty well thought out. And, yeah.
Peacekeeping, yep.
Yeah, peacekeeping committee. I don't want to shortchange that for sure. And it's evolved into this. We got very fortunate as this date was picked that it coincides with a national and international day of action. And so I think it was kind of meant to be.
So it was just a coincidence, the dates coming together like this?
I will say it's all people coming together. So
okay.
I find that when I started out, that's when the ICE raids are going on here locally. And then it's like that time, it's going over East Side. And then it's like, why is this so? and then it's ICE raids. And then even the Americans who are born here on this land, their houses has been raided. They're American-born citizen. And then they're black folks over East Side. And why is it so? And then the people who are just over on the street, going around with their life, going for the grocery store, or someone who migrated from Southeast Asia, they were grabbed and interrogated. And then what's happening on this land? And it hasn't, by that time when I started out, looking at all these new over, all over this nation going on, it did make me cry. And then I was imagining myself that I'm a citizen here. I could say, at this point, or who knows, fully protected. But then someone who is not fully protected, how will they be feeling? And then I still have a roof over my head, and then it's someone who is not sure with their status, where they are in this point of the time. And then I find that we should gather our strength in us. There's a power in the people, there's power in us, and then we should just find the strength rather than being in fear. Then I posted on my Facebook that what are we doing as a good neighbors, why don't we come together and act? And so from there, I was just thinking about the question that you posed last night when I saw a news article that this is a global mass movement on April 5th. There's going to be a protest in London. There's also a protest over Canada. Then it's all of us showing, that we still have power in the people. So that's how I find
it. I think, too, things have just gotten very much worse. Some of these problems have been with us. They have been with us. They've been with us through every administration. I want to say that racism is alive and well in this country. It is only just more obvious and blatant than it was for a while. And it's very scary, but it is not a new problem. I want to say we worked hard. So we have our longstanding problems of injustice and economic injustice, economic, environmental, racial, et cetera, in this country. And they've just gotten so much worse. So that's where, and I want to say, during the first Trump administration, I can remember when we had an immigrants march and together, Wynn spoke. Well, that might have been your first public speaking event. And it was there was a lot of wonderful activism going on in Buffalo at that time. And there's a lot of shapes that activism has taken. But right now we're really in desperate straits. I mean, it is very scary what's going on. My dad was a German Jew he had to leave Munich in 1933 as a 15-year-old because he was such a radical. So it's in my bones about the standing up, really, in truth and love. I mean, Reverend Dr. King talked about unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word. And that is what I believe, and that's really what the Peace Center has been working on for 58 years. But I want to just also draw our attention to when we got together, when it started talking about what's our mission, we wrote a mission statement that really, it was a Google Doc. We all worked on it. We had, something like 40 people working on it in varying amounts. But I think...
And they just quoted that, didn't they, in Minnesota?
They did.
Oh, really?
They did in Minnesota, which is just shocking that they'd be quoting us in Minnesota.
Also in the global movement news. I just checked on last night.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a coast to coast, including Buffalo, New York. And then, one of the organizers mentioned it's similar to our quotes in what we have in our mission statement.
Yeah.
And the quote of the mission statement was actually, they talk about what we said about people of color. and just how much.
I see you trying to call it up here on your,
I
on your
am.
Phone. But while you're doing that, let me move on to just a quick question, because there's a lot to get into. Mike, I would expect Victory's organization to be involved in this. I'm not surprised that unions are getting involved, but let's talk about what is really, what's moving organized labor in Western New York to get involved.
Sure. I think labor as a whole is sometimes a little slow to react. Maybe they're a little cautious about their own concerns. And I'm very fortunate that I work under the direction of a general president, Jimmy Williams, and he is, I think, a leader in the nation right now as far as labor leaders go. We had a meeting last week with all the business managers, and he pretty much said, if we don't stand up now, when? This is an historic moment in history for unions. The assault, it's not enough to sit back and say, well, we're the painters and allied trades union. We're a private construction union. He's not attacking us. He's just going after all the federal unions. He's just ripping up collective bargaining agreement rights for close to 1 million people. He's just going after the letter carriers and the postal servants. We're okay. That's not enough. That's not okay, because sooner or later, history's proven this, they'll turn their sights to private unions. So we wanted to get out ahead of this. That's why the IUPAT is joined on with this. We're all in on this. This is an assault we've never seen in this country on our democracy. It's across the board, every group. So yes, he's attacking public unions. He's attacking every group: women, people of color, immigrants, LGBTQ. He's attacking my mother's Social Security, Medicare. It's unprecedented. So if not now, when? Really, we felt the obligation and more than willingly jumped in to be a leader in this movement, this Buffalo United movement.
And plenty of other unions involved, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Absolutely. They've been joining on more and more as we started rolling. And, this is the first big rally that we're seeing in Western New York. There's a women's march coming up, right?
Right. That'll be May 17th at 2 p.m. in Lafayette Square. So.
And then there's also I believe the Area Labor Federation's planning a rally on May 6th. So you're going to start to see more and more events, more and more rallies, more and more marches. This is the first one out of the gate, and it's all inclusive, which I like a lot. It's we're going to have a lot of different speakers talking on a lot of different topics, because to me, if you just have a rally right out of the gate like this, when so many people feel attacked and threatened, you need to have a rally for everybody, right? Like if you just have a focused rally, that's great, but everybody wants to get out in the street and raise their fists in the air and scream right now. So this is a rally for everybody to show up and show support for each other, really.
What are the early indications of what the attendance might be? I mean, I know rallies can vary for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is weather. But do we have a sense of what
this
could be?
I think we would just say thousands at this point.
Yeah.
Well, we went into it planning like 1,200 to 1,400,
okay,
which would be a pretty good turnout.
Sure.
I am, knock on wood, weather holds out, right? And then we'll see.
Yeah. But I think we'll see is the operative word, because first of all, you never know. And second of all, the people who are meant to be there will be there.
Right.
And actually, thank you for bringing that up. We also want to say, for people, we're going to start with a rally. It'll be about an hour long. And then we're going to march up Delaware to Chippewa and the ICE building, where we'll come around and then go back down Elmwood. And people have been very concerned, especially because of the bad acts, the people who have been carted off for their political opinions, not even for doing anything illegal. There's been no claim of anything illegal. So, and people, depending on their immigration status, you know, may be nervous about coming, you know, we say, if you are nervous about it, don't come. Now, we do have a lot of peacekeepers who will, you know, we have different, I call it choreography, different sort of movements that we can do to keep people safe and keep people, you know, or keep people, you know, away from other people if they're harassing somebody or going, you know, giving somebody a hard time. And certainly de-escalation techniques. But for those who are uncertain or afraid of being photographed or, you know, especially because there are some things that have been controversial that have been mentioned in some of our outreach, if you're nervous about it, don't come, because there'll be so many other opportunities. Getting out in the street is just one of them. We have lobbying going on. We have that very day at Canisius College, there's a whole panel and a premiere of a movie called Running to Stand Still at Canisius College in the Montante Center at 2:30. So same day after the march, people will come back and we'll disperse them. Peacekeepers will be paying attention as people leave. We want people to leave, not to linger, because that, if there is going to be a problem, sometimes that has been when there is one, you know, as people are leaving. But anyway, so people will leave, and then they're welcome to go to the Montante Center, where the Latin American Solidarity Committee of the Western New York Peace Center is holding a showing of that film. And then we have all the resettlement agencies, plus Jericho Road and Justice for Migrant Families, will be there for a panel discussion. So there are so many ways that people can get involved. We just talked about the Women's March, about your gathering on the 6th. There's ample ways of getting connected to being part of the movement. We'll also have people who are gathering signatures to get people to sign up so that they're getting communication directly as individuals. So people should not push themselves to come to a rally or a march if they feel unsafe, if they feel that their status makes them more vulnerable.
When, since it was your Facebook post that kind of got this started, on social media, it's the responses can be fascinating in comments. What have you seen? What did you see early on that made you think that, you know, this is something that's not only worth pursuing, but must be pursued?
It must be pursued. It's not about what pursuing. It is. Even I'm hearing you speak, and I'm surprised that we have to say that out loud, that, you know, if you don't feel safe, don't come out. But this is America. It's like, it's unconstitutional. It's
right.
We stay, I mean, it's, there's a, you know, freedom of speech that we can still practice. And why is it going on? It's what's going on. It's unconstitutional. And it's
unconstitutional.
Yes. And then how, yes, it's, and it's just because of a group of people, they are practicing, it's, you know, a handful of people are practicing this, and I mean, it is unconstitutional and lawful act. It is, we're going to the direction to the fascism, and we can, on this line, we cannot just stand still for that.
I can appreciate that, but I just to follow up, though, what are you hearing, though? What are you reading when on your Facebook page? I mean, both saying, let's go, let's do this, but maybe is there any pushback?
There's no pushback. There's a pour of, like, support. Yeah, that started a win. You know, if you're going to do something, yeah, everybody is like, yeah, let's do it. We're on it. And so, yeah, that's, Brian Brown Cashdollar from the Winkosh is like, okay, let's do it, let's plan it. And next week or so, we call for a meeting. The post was in end of in early February.
Okay. It's happening pretty fast.
Actually, Brian, so I want to give full credit to Winkosh, Brian Brown Cashdollar, and who's the director at Winkosh, because he called us and said, you know, we're happy to take the lead on this. We want to make sure that you're not about to start planning, you know, that we work together. And of course, I'm going to say that's what the Western New York Peace Center has always done. And usually we have so much going on that we won't necessarily be the ones to say, oh, let's do this. If somebody starts to say, oh, could we do this? Or, you know, we'll say, let us help you do that. Let us help you do that. Because, you know, that is what, or if there's a national march that we, that's how we started doing the Women's March.
Right.
So, and which will continue. But that's why when Brian said, you know, that they would like to take the lead and be sort of the hub, you know, of the, you know, like hold the meetings on their Zoom, for example. You know, that was wonderful. And also because of, you know, labor leading this is, because I've called it a labor-led, it's labor and community organizations, and it really takes all of us. But it's so wonderful and so important, you know, for all of us to see. I keep thinking of the Martin Niemöller quote, you know, they came for the unionists, but I didn't do anything because I'm not a unionist. Mm. And they came, you know, and finally when they came, for me, there was no one left to stand up, you know, go through all the different groups.
They're literally following that to a T. The administration,
right.
Go after unions, go after universities and professors.
Right.
They're checking it off. And to Wynn's point about, you know, when you asked about pushback or any negative comments, I guess, I could see on one topic, two topics, you know, you've got your people who want to not stand up for LGBTQ rights or anti-immigrant. But we're talking about a broader picture. We're talking about cutting Social Security and Medicare. And we're going to have a speaker talking about the impact of cutting Medicare. Percentages of like 25% of people in Erie County are relying on it. This affects everybody. This isn't a left, right, or center issue. A lot of these issues, a lot of what the administration's attacking, it's all Americans, all of us.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I think it may take some people on the right who've bought into this Trumpism feeling some of that pain. You know, maybe when they realize that two-thirds of people in nursing homes are reliant on some Medicaid, that 40 to 50% of all newborn babies are relying on some form of Medicaid funding. This is going to impact everybody, right? So I can't see how anybody could push back against that. Like that is universal. He's attacking the fabric of our country. And if government's not there to help its citizens, what is it there for? I know a lot of them hate the government. They want to tear it down and shred these agencies. And, you know, to Wynn's point, unconstitutionally,
absolutely,
do actions that, I mean, when you have an administration and a president that decides to take federal agencies and departments that are established by Congress, mandated by Congress, funded by Congress every year, and he decides to just disregard that, that's unconstitutional. Straight up, it's just not even a debate, it's unconstitutional. Congress, led by the Republican Party, has unfortunately abdicated their responsibility. They took an oath to defend the Constitution. They have not fulfilled their oath. Okay, so where do we go from there? We have a Congress that's allowing the president to ignore the Constitution. Okay, Congress is ineffective. The courts are trying to say, wait a second, there's the three branches of government. Federal judges, I think up to like 42 different rulings have said, stop this, that, or the other. You can't cut USAID. You can't do this. You can't deport people without due process. Turn the planes around. The president ignores them. So when you have a president ignoring the Constitution, nothing has stopped him yet. I think it's uncomfortable to say this, but I don't think it's hyperbole. We have a dictator. I'd like to debate that with anybody, because when I just laid it out the way I did, and to Wynn's point, legal status, immigrants being picked up
right
by hooded, masked, unbadged individuals, thrown into vans with no due process, thrown on planes, taken to a El Salvadorian prison. We're living in a dictatorship, America.
Right.
There's no other way to put it. So who's going to stop the dictator?
And I want to say it's not about persons, it's about actions. These bad acts that are being done by the government or by the levers of power in the government, and it's the epitome of might is right. And they have the might, but we have a force more powerful, and that is people power. So Mike and I were just talking about this morning, and when it is, you know, exactly why you said, you know, let's get out in the street, and why we have gotten out in the street to the tune of 5,000 people in the 2018 Women's March. It's so important, and that force more powerful, I want to say, unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word. This, I found the mission statement. Okay. I just want to...
Sure.
It's, you know, because when we're getting quoted in Minnesota, and we all worked on this, I think it's worth reading. We are a coalition of people in Western New York who put people and the planet first. We include labor and community groups, activists, researchers, neighbors, friends, and family. We stand with federal workers and the important work they perform. They provide vital services, including social security programs, health care, child care, protection of our food systems, and aviation oversight, and many others. We stand with our most vulnerable members, including immigrants, LGBTQIA people, and all others who are marginalized and oppressed, including women. We stand with people of color and all those being stripped of their basic human and civil rights. We stand with our educational institutions and the countless faculty, researchers, and students that are being subjected to arbitrary political litmus tests, uncertainty, and censorship in their work. We stand with people all over the world who are being attacked or dominated through military aggression. Collectively, we will work to defend our neighbors, our people, our planet, our democracy, and ourselves, to build the future we deserve.
Yes, this is Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR. My name's Jay Moran. This is What's Next, and we're talking about this coming Saturday's Buffalo United March in downtown Buffalo. With us, three guests. Mike Hogan is the business manager of IUPAT. Also, Victory Ross, the community coordinator for the West New York Peace Center. And from the Crossroads Coalition, the director, Win Min Tant. All right, so let's make sure we have the specifics. In case we've intrigued somebody, and I'd like to think that
sure.
We have, times... this coming Saturday, where people should go?
People should go to Niagara Square. That's the stage will be in front of City Hall. And as far as parking, by the way, people can park. Street parking is free over the weekend.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, as
right,
usual. Right. Mm-hmm. And there are ramps that people can go to. I do think you have to pay for those. But anyway, so we'll meet in the square. We'll have about an hour long rally, and then we'll be marching with, you know, plenty of peacekeepers and everything. We also have a medical aid tent, just by the
good
way. But anyway, when we start marching, we'll be marching up Delaware, up to Chippewa, and across over and back down, coming down Elmwood, and end up back in the square. And then we'll disperse. And that should be about 1 or 1:30, which will give people plenty of time to go to the Montante Center at Canisius to experience a wonderful film and panel discussion about migration and asylum. So it's a complete day of activity, and we're so excited to have almost 40 groups that are co-sponsoring this, and lots of people coming out, 55 peacekeepers who volunteered in three different trainings that we're giving. So we do have one more training on Thursday night at the Western New York Peace Center, which is 1272 Delaware Avenue, if people are still interested.
But the march or the rally starts at 11.
The rally starts at 11 in Niagara Square,
right,
which is in front of City Hall. Sometimes people get confused which square is which.
Yes, there's a lot
that's
of squares.
The one in front of City
squares
Hall.
Squares and circles in Buffalo.
The hub.
Rally starts at 11, mm-hmm. And then speakers for about an hour talking on various subjects, and the march is planned to start at noon. So rally for an hour and then march for about an hour is the plan.
And, you know, it's interesting you mentioned the peacekeepers being involved. This is, you know, you guys brought this up before we started our conversation, how important that really is to make sure that you have that element covered, that there is somebody there that's going to there are several people that are going to make sure that everyone stays safe.
Well, part of it is, first of all, if there's a medical emergency or anything like that, most of it, what we're telling people, we really expect it to be very mundane. It's like, yes, go that direction, or the porta potties are over there, or which there are porta potties, just by the way.
Important information.
Very important.
Yes, it is.
Oh, that was the key to when we had Occupy. That was the key to us being one of the longest lived Occupies. The first thing, the second day, I said, we need porta potties, and we got them.
Right.
The Western New York Peace Center, I want to thank Charlie Bowman for that. But anyway, the peacekeepers will just be there, you know, really for de-escalating. So if there are counter protesters, which we're not expecting, or if they do come, we're not expecting it to be a problem. But there are ways to de-escalate. And the biggest one is just listening to people. Mm-hmm. It's just turning it into a conversation instead of a shouting match, right? I'm a social worker. So qualified clinical social worker. I want to say, you know, all the active listening techniques that we have, you know, people are hurting right now. So that's one of the reasons that people have joined a cult that is this cult of, I won't want to say what, you know, of, you know, this counter constitutional movement, you know, towards authoritarian. It's about fear and desperation to a certain extent. So people are just, you know, fear and fear mongering, you know, so that's where having a lot of peacekeepers is good. You know, it makes things safe and secure. We do want people to be there who, you know, to feel safe, because as Wynn was saying too, there are also, as we know, there have been these incidents, you know, Khalid, I think, that was just taken off, or the young woman in at Tufts who was just taken. Yeah. It's outrageous what's happening. So, you know, if people are vulnerable or feeling vulnerable, then, you know, they don't need to feel that their commitment is not good if they don't come.
Understood.
Right?
Understood.
And also it's perfectly legal to wear masks if people want, because there could be picture taking or things like that.
But to the point, because this was asked yesterday at the press conference.
Yes.
The reporter asked us if about security and safety. And if you look at the coalition and the groups that are supporting it and historically, the people in these groups, there is a dichotomy between the two sides right here, and it's almost a battle for the soul of our country. I really feel we're on the side of peace.
Absolutely.
And love.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently those became, quote, woke terms, like empathy is a bad thing all of a sudden. So we're going to be a rally of peaceful, loving people.
Right.
Who are empathetic to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a rally from those on the other side, it's hate and fear. We're going to be a rally. We're having a peaceful rally. We're going to get out, use our First Amendment rights, and have a big rally. Hopefully, have a huge turnout and get invigorated for everybody to go back and build on this.
Absolutely.
To push back against an overreaching administration. So I understand people are going to ask, "Is it going to be peaceful? Is it going to be peaceful?" I wouldn't expect anything otherwise.
Right.
Just based on the people that will be there.
Right. No, it's going to be a peaceful rally. And honestly, we've not had, you know, with all the many rallies and marches and everything else, it is just a minuscule proportion where there's been any sort of issue.
Right.
So, and we have all these peacekeepers that are very well trained. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are social workers, because back to the real skill that's needed, it's not might is right. It's about truth and love. It's about listening. It's about, you know, common humanity, you know, and people on the planet caring for each other. So that, with those principles and that spirit, you know, who can be against us? Is, you know.
Let me ask this question, and any of you can tackle it as best you want. You mentioned the Women's March thing in 2016. You said 5,000.
In 2018.
5,000 people. So here just in Buffalo alone, okay? But I want to look back to the early stages of the Trump administration, number one, okay? Trump administration 1.0. There was a huge march, of course, in Washington, D.C. I'm wondering, in terms of activism, do you sense more activism now? Do you sense it's building to where it was before? What's the sense that you're seeing? I'd like to hear anybody's opinion on that. Wynn?
I find that especially with this year, with this March or this Saturday, how much support are pouring in? You know how it, this is like when we were at the press conference yesterday, standing behind it. It surprised me that from this Facebook post, and then I tag all Democratic Party, Walken Party. I tag everybody here in Western New York, and everybody supported it. I also even open it up this to the one who voted for this administration. I mean, it is not working for them as well.
Okay.
This right. is not working exactly. for the daily walking people. Mm. This is not working for right. the majority people in America. Yeah. And then everybody's now from this march coinciding with the mass movement across the nation, across the globe. The activism, it's going on. And then it's people are standing up, coming together to resist and fight back this fascism. And then which shows that we are stay organized and we have to focus to stay organized. And then at the same time, I mean, there are actions going on that we need to, and then we are divesting in these enterprises, entities that enable the fascism and that devalue human rights. So we also still have to focus to divest in this entity that devalue all of us rights, and that is enabling this, you know, just the handful of oligarch group. So I find that this, you know, activism, it's really stay active not here locally, also nationally and globally.
I'd say it's even more than last time.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that the numbers bear that out from some of the things I was just reading, that there have been more protests. And I'm going to say here, I think it's taken a little bit of a different shape in Buffalo, where maybe we're a little bit slower to get out on the street, or there have been protests, and they've been about all sorts of things that are going on that are more focused than this particular. This is going to be very big because we are taking the very large frame view. But the other thing is, there's a lot of other activity. I want to shout out to Justice for Migrant Families, which I just started volunteering for their phone line to Batavia, or from Batavia, where, you know, people in Batavia are calling for extra help. And they do a mammoth job at and have a rapid response team and rapid response training, which I've been part. So there's a lot of different shapes that the activism is taking. But even if you're just talking about people out in the street, in general, it's been more this time.
Okay.
And I think it will be more this time because the people who saw what was going on before still see what's going on, and now it's so much worse.
Yeah.
And the last thing I want to say, and please, and I'd love to hear you talk about this, Mike, because one of the other things when we talk about our electoral system, voter suppression. So this is part of, you know, when Trump has studied Hitler. And when you look at all the tactics that are being taken, it's a roadmap. It's an exact roadmap to where we are. So that's why we have to stand up in all those ways.
Yeah, it stuns me when you look at some of his actions. And if you did do a direct comparison, I think we're like 70 something days in. Mm-hmm. His overreach, his gross overreach in these 2.0 70
yes.
days compared to the first,
yes,
not even comparable.
Right.
I mean, you almost.
But is the public response as strong or stronger than what we saw 8 months?
Yeah, I think it's
5 years ago.
In
yeah.
70 days in, I think yeah. it's stronger.
Okay.
It's starting to really exponentially grow based on, you know, when you want to gut the VA. I think 30% of the employees there are veterans, and it's indiscriminate. You know, this the catchphrases that really bothers me, and this is the Republicans are excellent at this. At a bumper sticker slogan, repeat, repeat, repeat. They don't get into nuance and explanations because their voters don't really care about that sometimes. So It's waste, fraud, and abuse. Waste, fraud, and abuse. That's the catchphrase. And it's those three words in that order, exactly, all the time. To me, that's so simplistic and silly, but people buy it. Waste, fraud, what's Trump doing? He's stopping waste, fraud, and abuse. Well, how is he doing that with Doge and Musk going in, indiscriminately firing people? They're not assessing who's good, who's bad. They just say, we want to get rid of a third of an agency. So they just go into the VA or they go into these agencies and they just, I don't know if they just put names in a Tumblr. And they get rid of people who've been there, lifelong Republicans too, who are starting to feel the pain, and you're seeing more and more online complaining, I voted for this, but why me? And it's like that kind of Schadenfreude kind of moment.
Right.
This is something that everybody should have seen coming. And as every week that goes by, wait until he imposes 20 to 25% tariffs that go into effect tomorrow. If he doesn't back down again, if he really imposes those tariffs, and I don't care as much as they say tariffs are tax on the foreign countries, that's just a blatant lie. People are going to feel it. And then you'll see more resistance.
You know, I mentioned a force more powerful, and I really want to stress that. So the force more powerful, I do believe it's love. But also, a part of that is the nonviolent direct action. So there is a film called A Force More Powerful. It's about nonviolent direct action. It's very long. You can Google it. It's freely available online. And they tell about getting the British out of India, the anti-apartheid raise South Africa, the civil rights movement in this country, Solidaridnask, and also one of my favorites is what the Danish did. So when the Nazis took over and they're making Jews wear Star of David, what they did in Denmark was they all the people started wearing the Star of David. Mm-hmm. So we're showing that film at Burning Books on April 16th, Wednesday, April 16th at 7 o'clock, and then the second half of it will be April 29th, 7 p.m. at Burning Books, 420 Connecticut Avenue. But you can also just see it at home. And it's inspiring. So that is where I really feel that's where we can go, because it's the people power, again, that is going to get us where we need to go in the face of this just heinous authoritarian dictatorship, really authoritarian rule that's just taking over.
It's a blatant assault on decency.
Exactly, really. On decency, exactly.
You're listening to What's Next. Good morning to you. I'm Jay Moran. With us today, we're talking about this coming Saturday's rally in downtown Buffalo, the Buffalo United rally in March. Victory Ross, the community coordinator for Western New York Peace Center. Also, Wynn Mentant, director of Crossroads Coalition, and Mike Hogan, business manager for IUPAT. Mike, I want to put this one to you, and I'll let you kind of work around it, because I'm sure you're union members. You represent a lot of different people, a lot of different perspectives.
Absolutely.
But there is no doubt that the Trump movement, if you want to call it that, went out and appealed to working class voters. I don't think we're anything about that. But I'm curious what you're hearing from membership. Are you hearing from people who are getting a little bit of buyer's remorse, perhaps?
I have heard some of that. I'd like to hear more. I think it's early on still.
Sure.
And like we were talking about on break, I think when tariffs go into effect and you start to see your grocery bills going up more and more from all the produce from South America and other places, and you start to see your own personal finances impacted, that's where my members were before the election. The price of groceries, you know, the classic price of egg, all that. And they blamed the incumbent president.
Whether right or wrong, that's typical.
Absolutely. That's normal for Americans. And my membership for my union, our district council, is split down the middle, I'd say. There's still a lot of Trump supporters. They won't like this interview with me.
I have a feeling they already know where you stand, though, Mike.
Absolutely, they know where I stand. Again, if you don't say speak up now, this is egregious. This is not something you can just sit back to. So before the election, we have a newsletter that goes out every quarter to the members, all the members. And I wrote a letter to the members that hit their mailboxes a week before the election, pretty much laying out the case why, for you, Mr. Union Construction Worker, mm-hmm. voting for Harris and the Democratic Party is the right thing to do. And I just wanted to lay out facts. So I went back to like starting in the 1950s, every administration from Democrat to Republican, Democrat to Republican. And I laid out what every, like in brief bullet points, what each one did and how the Democrats historically always do better with the economy. Stock market does better under Democrats. And then the Republicans come in and they kind of tank it. And then the Democrats come in. The people of America are fickle and they vote back and forth, back and forth.
Right.
So I said, look, be honest with yourself. If you're going to vote, at least if you're voting on economics, you're obviously voting Democrat based on what I just laid out. That's just facts. If you want to vote because you're scared someone's going to take your gun, that's your right. Be honest about it. If you want to vote because you don't like people of color, that's also your right. Be honest about it. Don't tell me, because this is what I hear from my members, oh, the economy this, the economy that. Well, then you're voting Democrat, right? No, I'm voting Republican. That's not the right way to vote if you're voting for your economy, for your pocketbook. If you want to vote for your own economics, you would vote Democrat all the time. My members are voting for other issues they don't want to openly say. So I put that newsletter out. Mm-hmm. I got quite a few phone calls mm-hmm. from members saying thank you. It was mm-hmm. I read it to my wife out mm-hmm. loud. It was so good. I also got a call from the general president's office of my union
okay.
saying they had an official written complaint from a member or two saying I had offended them as a member. And so the union started a little investigation. The first thing they did was they went to our website, they read my newsletter, and the general president said, that's a great letter.
Yes.
Yes. They're split. Yes. You know, you get both sides. And, sure. And I'll take the heat. I don't, it's all right, you know?
Way to go, Mike, yeah.
Yeah, Wynn, let me ask you this. In terms of points of view, because I mean, it's interesting how Mike got into it a little bit there, but we hear about how people can't talk across this divide. You know, that there's too much polarization. Mm-hmm. What are you finding? Do you find that is the case? What do you see? What do you hear?
Yes, I mean the polarization is going on. Not even here. I mean, last week I was in Toronto, and then I hear the same thing going on. It's not in not America. It's the whole
okay.
world.
All right.
And it started out maybe from here, like since last administration. And the people have to come back together, and then we have to care what we need, and we have to center ourselves as a human beings, as mm-hmm. you know, what we want, what we need are essentially the same.
Yes,
it is just that when we've been influenced by these different propagandas, and then yes. going wayward, so we've been polarized. But then when you and I, seeing each other two eyes, like Mike and with Vicky, it's we are human to human, and we have to come back to that to that ground. We have to right. come back to that. I wouldn't say the center is, but then that's also essentially where that is. We have to come back, meet together, and we have to ground where our basic needs are as human beings, and then everybody wants what the same thing at here and then across the globe. And even here, as you know, to Mike's point, and it's like, even someone who voted for Trump, it may not be working for them as well, and then it is not working for who didn't vote for them as well. It is not about the administration. It is not about the but we must understand and see that sometimes it has been played on the popularism, populist politics. It's not working, and we have to come back together, and then we have to stay focused, and then we have to, especially at this time, we have to form a united front to resist and fight. And then we have to also invest in our own communities. We have to invest in frontline communities, mm-hmm. especially when this is, I mean, essentially where we are heading, it's, this is not working for a handful, group of people, like tech, the billionaires, and they want to rain on us because they want to build more profit. Then it's not working for majority of us here in America all across the globe. And so we have to divest, where they are. And then we have to invest in our own communities, in frontline organization. And this is also the time for local and national funders and a private foundation to step in. It's their choice to step in or step out when there is attack on DEI. DEI is essentially, it is human rights for everyone. It is built on empathy, equity, and love. And then why will someone attack that, right? Then
you're opening up a whole nother program on that one for sure.
<right. laughs>
But then finally, we've got about a minute left, Victory Ross. Oh. So I'll let you lay out the specifics of Saturday. What's happening? What do you want people to do?
Please join us. Join us on Saturday at 11 o'clock in Niagara Square. We'll be there in the rally. I hear the speakers. There'll be some, some entertainment as well. But then we'll have a march at about noon going up Delaware, up to Chippewa and across and back down Elmwood. We'll end in the square and people will disperse from there. So it's just part of building a movement, and there's so many ways that you can engage. That's one of them, and we're grateful and welcoming, because this is really for people in the planet to care for each other and to do the right thing so that we can continue in this creation.
Well, thank you so much for the discussion this morning. Victory Ross from the Western New York Peace Center, Winman Todd from the Crossroads Coalition, and Mike Hogan from IUPAT. Thank you very much for joining us today on What's Next.
Thank you for having us.
This has been What's Next. My name is Jay Moran, and this is Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.